Praise God. Hallelujah. I feel like I have something to preach tonight in the book of Matthew. Amen. Thank you, brother, for coming and helping us on that. Sister, hallelujah. I'm glad I know him personally. I don't have to take somebody's word for it. Don't have to listen to somebody else's experience. But I know the fix-it man for myself. Hallelujah. A personal encounter. A personal relationship. A personal Savior. My best friend. Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel him here tonight. Want him to have his way. Matthew chapter 8. Oh, hallelujah. I need the Lord's help here tonight. Matthew chapter 8, beginning reading at verse 1. If you have it, say amen. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I want you to notice that. Jesus come down off the mountain, great multitudes following him. There comes a leper, someone who's forbidden, someone who should be out on the outskirts, but he persistently approaches Christ and with a purpose in mind to worship him. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just, I know you're standing, but next chapter, chapter 9 of Matthew, in verse 18. Matthew 9 and 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. We know the story. Amen. The end of that is she's risen from the dead. Amen. She passes on the way and all of that. But he came. Amen. Behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him. Now, I know you're standing, but just a couple more chapters over, if you will, please. Matthew 14. I'm drawing a contrast here tonight. Matthew 14, the familiar passage of Jesus walking on the water. The 5,000 have just been fed. He constrains the disciples. They go on the ship. He's up in the mountain praying. The Gospels tell us of this account. Amen. And now the ship's tossed in the midst of the sea, contrary to the waves. All of this is going on. The wind's blowing. In the fourth watch, Jesus comes walking on the sea. Verse 26 of Matthew 14. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Jesus spake unto them, straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. We know the story. Peter said, if it's you, bid me to come. The Lord said, come. He walks a little while on the water, gets his eyes off Jesus, begins to sink, cries. Jesus saves him, rescues him. Verse 31, immediately stretched forth his hand, said, O thou of little faith, why, wherefore didst thou doubt? Verse 32, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Y'all still with me? Verse 33, then, I want you to notice the power in that one little word that he begins, verse 33. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. After the wind had ceased, after the storm was calm, after he had walked on water, then they worshipped him. I want to preach here tonight, just a simple thought. The first church of conditional worship. First church of conditional worship. Would you stretch your hands toward heaven one more time? I need the Lord's help here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word's anointed. It's spirit and life. Let it be anointed in my mouth. Help me to yield to you and just let you preach to us tonight. Most of all, that you would pull us around this altar, God. Lord, that you would stir in our heart a desire, Lord, to worship you like never before. Lord, fill somebody with the Holy Ghost around this altar tonight. Shake somebody, Lord. Stir somebody's experience. Let your will be accomplished in every heart and life. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. And the church said, amen. Thank you for standing for the reading of God. And I know several passages, but I appreciate you standing there for the Word of God. I want you to notice the contrast in these different texts that we read. Here we have a leper, somebody who's on the outskirts, somebody who should be the outcast. We know the law, we know the story, you know the story, amen, of the situation, the sad lot of a leper. Amen. How they had to cry unclean, how they had to cover. We know that, don't we? Amen. They weren't allowed to just come in and into a setting like this. There was laws, there was boundaries, there was partitions, if you will, in society. Things that they shouldn't do, lines that they shouldn't cross. They were the outcasts. And then, amen, we have this ruler of the synagogue. He's a church man. Amen. And we see him coming to the Lord with a need. Then we see the disciples, amen, and their followers of Jesus, amen, friends of Jesus. Hallelujah. Seen the miracles firsthand, walked with him, talked with him, amen, fellowshiped with him, hallelujah, followed him close, and we see their reaction. We see all these different accounts, and I didn't want to keep you standing too long, but the next chapter, if we would have proceeded to turn over one more chapter into chapter 15 of Matthew's gospel, he begins to tell, amen, of that Canaanite woman who came with a daughter that was grievously vexed with the devil. And we all know that story of how that all played out. She came and she petitioned Jesus, amen, to have mercy on me, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he was silent. He didn't even answer her. She cried out the more and she followed, and the disciples became frustrated and said, let's do something about this. She crieth after us. Let's send her away. Let's get this disturbance out of the midst. And Jesus answered her, said, I'm not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came, in verse 25 of Matthew 15, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And we know the persistence of this woman, her faith. And at the end of it, Jesus told her, you have great faith. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt, as thou desire thy faith. Amen. The faith in his word. Not in his presence. How many times did somebody come? Boy, I know it's got quiet on us here. Amen. But I feel like I got something to preach to you tonight for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So very often, church, amen, we fall in the same rut as these first followers of Christ. Amen. That first church, that early church, those that were first acquainted, amen, with the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, amen, as Jesus preached it, those that were acquainted with his miracles, those that fellowshipped and walked with him the closest and followed him the closest, and we can see the comparison of their worship with the comparison of these that are afar off, amen, the Gentiles and the outcasts and those, amen, the Pharisees, the synagogue, and all of this contrasted to those who were his closest followers, and the difference is this, amen, this Gentile woman and this leper, they came to him, and the very first thing they did is they worshiped him first, before there was a petition ever made, before there was a request that ever escaped the mouth, amen, of that leper, the first thing he did, I've got to get first things first, I've got to put all of this in perspective, I've got to get the priority on the fact that I've got to praise him and worship him for who he is. Amen. And the first thing they did was worship him. That was their initial approach. Amen. Whether he was going to answer or not, they had no idea. Whether he was going to say, be healed, be made whole. Amen. Let your daughter be delivered. They did not know. Amen. For certain, they believed he would. They believed their desire would be granted. But they knew not for sure. And yet there was something within them that said, this man is worthy of worship. There was something inside of them that knew and recognized, this is the very Son of God, and he is worthy of my worship. He is worthy of my praise. Now what a contrast to these who closely followed him. What a contrast to those that had walked with him and talked with him and heard the gospel preached from his lips. Amen. They did not worship him until after he moved. They did not worship him till after he answered, till after the petition was granted, till after the storm ceased, till after the wind and waves stopped crashing. The first church of conditional worship, we see it in those who were closely following Christ. How many times do we fall into that same rut? Oh, hallelujah. How many times? Lord, if you'll do this, then I'll praise you. Lord, if you'll ask, then I'll do whatever you ask me to do. Come on now. Lord, if you'll heal, if that prodigal son, every church has got him. Every church has got a prodigal son that if he walked in the door tonight and walked straight up to the altar and fell in this altar, amen, at the very first song, pandemonium would break out. Come on. Can I get a witness on that? Every church has the wayward sons and daughters that if they walked into our midst, well, with a grateful heart, we would rejoice. We would try, and justly so. Amen. But what makes the difference on a dry Wednesday night? What makes the difference on a Thursday night of revival? Amen. When we walk into the house, amen, and the anticipation to worship is not really there until we see, amen, what the choir is going to sing, until we see how high it's going to get, until we wait and see, is he going to move? Boy, if the Lord moves, I just might run around this place tonight. Boy, if the Lord will do this, I just might cut a rug tonight. Amen, can I tell you, you just signed up as a member. So very often our worship is conditional to what heaven does. Earth's response to heaven's move, to heaven's initial touch or move in our midst. Then we respond, and justly so, all right? We should. It is our response. Why do we run and shout? It's Earth's response to heaven's glory. Amen. We can't hardly handle ourselves. We can't hardly contain, amen, this up and overflowing well, amen, that's springing forth out of our belly, rivers of living water. We can't hardly contain it, amen. But why so very often do we forget we have it, amen, when something, amen, is not going exactly the way we think it ought to, amen. A member of the first church of conditional worship talks like this. Now, if brother so-and-so will sing the verses on that song, we're going to have a shout down tonight. Amen. A member of the first church of conditional worship talks something like this. Amen. If so-and-so would just come in and get saved, boy, we'd have revival. Amen. Why can't we have revival first? Hallelujah. Why can't we shout first? Why can't we worship first? Woo! The leper didn't say, well, Lord, if you'll cleanse me, I'll worship you. What a dreadful disease. I mean, he had no hope of a healing. No way of escape. An outcast. A scourge upon society. Now, you talk about the burden he had to bear every day, brother. And that's where we come to. What did he have to lose? He had nothing to lose. He had nothing to offer, but he had nothing to lose. Oh, hallelujah. He didn't have anything to lose. It didn't matter if they said, what is he doing? He's beside himself. What is he doing? We've never seen him act like that. That must be wildfire. What's he thinking? What's he doing? He must be out of the way. There's some... He didn't care. He didn't have anything to lose. He was an outcast anyway. He was a scourge upon society anyway. So it didn't matter when anybody thought about him. I'm going to get in there and worship Jesus first. It don't matter, hey man, who gets upset about it. Hey man, who in the world cares anyway? Hallelujah. I ain't got nothing to lose. Can I tell you, that's the category I want to be in. Hallelujah. It ain't about me. It ain't about what I've done. It ain't about what I've accomplished. It ain't about who I am. It's about who he is. It's about what he's done. It's about what he's accomplished. Woo! Hey. So many times we act like we have something to lose. Isn't that right? So many times we worship God like we have something to lose. What are they going to think? What are they going to say? How are they going to act? What name are they going to slap on me if I act like that? Come on now. I have my name to think of. Woo! I got to think about what they're going to talk. I got to think about the kids, how they're going to run around and imitate my shout if I get out there when they're playing church. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Amen. Well, anybody ever play church and imitate somebody? It's a so-and-so shout. Oh, come on. You're thinking of people right now, aren't you? Hallelujah. As kids, get around and, well, I'm brother so-and-so. Woo. I'm sister so-and-so. Woo. Hey, man, they can get them down pretty good. They can imitate. Hey, man, so very often. Hey, man, the children play church. Hey, man, and they mimic the hosannas that they saw mom and dad worshiping with. Hey, man, they mimic and then they copy. Hey, man, and you know what happens somewhere along the way? It gets in their blood that, hey, we can worship. And it don't matter who thinks anything about it. It don't matter what they say about it. Boy, I know I ain't got a sermon tonight, but I got a thought on my heart. Amen. I don't ever want to be a member of the first church of conditional worship. Hey, it don't matter what happens. It don't matter who thinks ill of me. I'm going to pray. And I pray all by myself. I'm going to worship him no matter if he moves or not. How many times has a church service just busted wide open because somebody worshiped first? Yeah. The music just wasn't right. The beat wasn't right. They wasn't high enough yet. But they got a jump start on it. Praise God. Yeah. I don't know how many times I've been in a church service and get a young person running around the place. And they're the only person doing something in the whole house. And sometimes, I mean, it's like a deer in headlights. What's he doing? We're singing Amazing Grace, praise God. There he goes again, lap two. There he goes again, lap three. But you know what? Somewhere around in the corner on lap three, it starts to catch on. Amen. And there's somebody else that starts feeling something and says, hey, amen, whoever said we have to be singing a fast song to shout anyway? Whoever said that God has to heal before we praise him anyway? Whoever said that he has to answer the prayer before we ever thank him anyway? I think I'll just do my best to let him know I'm grateful just for the fact that I know him. I'm grateful just for the fact that I am in his presence tonight. Whether he answers or not, whether he heals or not, whether he saves or not, I'm going to worship him. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to give him glory. Woo! Hey! The difference that I see, faith is what motivated this first group to worship. They came and worshiped him in faith. Not because of what he had already done, because who they believed he was. Well, that's proper worship right there. Hallelujah. The Bible said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, he hath perfected praise. Amen. When Jesus said, if you silence these children when they were crying, Hosanna,
Amen. Then the rocks are going to cry out. Well, there's something to that. Amen. Because a child, they don't understand everything. They don't understand all the doubts and frustrations and fears that come on as we get older. Come on now. And the skepticism that creeps up as we get older, and we see situations where God chooses not to heal, and it shakes our faith, and we see circumstances that don't make sense to us, and those questions, amen, can creep and cloud into doubts, amen, and a child doesn't really have that, amen. All they're doing is just worshiping Him because they know Him, because they know about Jesus, amen. They don't know what He's done or not done. They don't know about the prayers He's answered or not answered. All they know is He's God, and I'm going to praise Him. He's God, and I'm going to worship Him. Hallelujah. Faith motivates true worship. It's worshiping Him for who He is, not for what He's done, and not even for what He's going to do. Now, the other group, the disciples, you can almost say they worshiped Him out of fear. The Bible said they marveled greatly and they feared. What manner of man is this? Even the wind and sea obey Him. Look at this. Look at the wind has ceased as soon as He stepped in the ship. There's a calm. Amen. And then they worshiped Him. When they saw the effects of His power, it's almost they worshiped His power instead of who He was. Amen. They worshiped what He could do instead of who He was personally. Now listen. Amen. I don't want to cross anybody up on anything. And if I'm wrong, you can tell me so. Amen. But the way I see it, worship is giving Him the glory that is due His name, not giving Him the glory for what He's done or what He's going to do. It's the glory that He already deserves because of who He is.
Hallelujah. When they saw the wind and the waves, when they saw the miracles, when they saw the effects. You know, Mark even gives us a little more insight. Mark's gospel said, you know, they had a lot of work to do there in the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus sent them out to make everybody sit down by companies, 50s and hundreds. Boy, that took some time. That took some organization. That took some head thought. Somebody with some skills. Come on now. There's some work involved. Getting 5,000 men plus women and children to divide up into companies of 50s and hundreds, and then to get them all spread out and sat down on the green grass. Then the work hadn't even started yet. Then they came back and Jesus began to break the bread. He blessed and He broke it, and then they had to take it out to the people. A lot of footwork, a lot of service, a lot of labor involved. Yeah. And there's a miracle happening right under their nose. And Brother Austin, I don't think they even realized because of all the work and the service that they were giving, running back and forth. We got another basket left over. Go get all the fragments that remain. Make sure nothing's left over. And so they go and they gather up all the leftovers. I'm talking about work, folks. Amen. A hot desert day. And they're running back and forth, feeding this multitude, taking them the food that Jesus, the bread that He's broken, the fish. Amen. Then He constrains them to get on a ship and to go out in a stormy sea. Amen. I guarantee you they're frustrated. Some of them may even be mouthing. I don't know. Amen. They're chapped is what they are. They're frustrated at the whole situation. Amen. But then the storm comes and it begins to rage. And here comes somebody walking on them. Amen. Walking on the water to them. Amen. And they're afraid. Oh, after the day we've had, now here comes a ghost. Talk about things going from bad to worse. Amen. But then they realize it's Jesus. And Mark's gospel said, amen, that after He had calm the storm. Let me read it to you. Amen. For they all saw Him and were troubled, and immediately He talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Wait a minute.
They should have already been worshiping him for the miracle he just did. They should have been worshiping him for who he was, how he met the need, how he multiplied, amen, what he did. But there was a hardening of their heart. It just became ritual. It just became service. Amen. It became servitude. Amen. Here we go again, another day with Jesus. What's he going to make us do today? Is this all right? Right here, so many times, this is where folks are living. Amen. It's the blood and sweat and tears, amen, that gets us in the grind. And we become calloused. We become hardened to the fact that He's God. We become calloused to the fact that it's Jesus, the very Son of God, and He's worthy of our worship. And it took the stormy sea to wake them up. Sometimes it takes the storms of life to jog our memory. Sometimes it takes the stormy sea and the wind and waves, and we wonder why. Where's this coming from? Oh, come on now. Somewhere along the line, our worship has become conditional. If, Lord, if this happens, or if that happens, or if you'll do this, or if you'll take me here, if you'll lead me, if you'll pour out this upon me, if you'll give me this, then I'll do that. And it's conditional. We're telling God, if you'll do this, then I'll give you the glory that I already owe unto your name. It's already due unto your name. Oh, but brother, amen, if we could get the burden just like that leper had, if we could get the burden just like that upset daddy had, if we could get the burden like that upset mama had, where they said, hey, I'm so desperate, amen, that it doesn't matter if he answers or not. I've just got to worship him. I've just got to give him glory. I've got to let him know I believe. I got to let him know I believe. I got to let him know that he's worthy. What about the demoniac that worshiped before deliverance? Hey man, Jesus, the boat lands upon the shore, and here he comes running, falls down and worships. Over and over and over, we see in the Bible the disciples reprimanded. Oh, ye of little faith, why didn't you believe? Hey man, where was your faith? Somewhere along the line, faith was lost, and worship became conditional. And Jesus rebuked them for seeking after signs. Come on now. I'm coming to a close right here. But how many times somebody has more faith in signs than they do the Son of God? The faith is in the shout. The faith is in the move. The faith is in the feeling. Brother, I ain't got faith in feelings. No, feelings will forsake you. Feelings will let you down. Amen. My faith is birthed and born. Amen. And entwined in the Word of God. Because it doesn't change. It doesn't alter. No variableness, no shadow of turning in Him. Your feelings are going to change. Your emotions are going to change. Sure they are. And therefore your worship will change. If your worship is conditional, if your worship is emotional, but brother, if your worship is faith-driven, it'll never be altered. Whether you walk through the valley of the shadow, whether he heals or not, whether he answers or not, you're still going to praise him. Hey, I've heard young folks make the statement, boy, we're going to get in if this will happen. We're going to have a shout down if they sing that song. Come on now. And we get in our rut. And we know what songs really make us think about God. I'm not throwing all that out. There are certain songs that really get us motivated to worship because of the lyrics. I realize that. But listen, whatever happened to the stories told of where they walked in the church house shouting? Huh? Hey, I've heard those stories. But I ain't seen it in a long time. How long's it been since you've seen it? Somebody that'd been on their knees all afternoon. Somebody that'd been in the presence of God and their faith was soaring because of their relationship with Him. and they walked in the very doors of church. Amen. Already shouting, already worshiping. Amen. It didn't matter if we was going to have a dead service or not. Amen. Over their dead body, because they came and they brought the worship with them. They came to shout. They came to rejoice. They came to worship Him. Hallelujah. Amen. You could say they had a dead service. They'd never know the difference because they gave it 110% anyway. Hallelujah. I want to ask you tonight. Amen. Is your worship faith-based? Are you worshiping Him on who He is? The Bible, when it talks about the resurrection of Jesus, the Bible said after they seen Him, then they worshiped Him. After the fact that He moved. After the fact that He arose. After He triumphed. Amen. He was no different. He was still God before. Come on now. Hallelujah. The miracle didn't make Him God. Woo! Hallelujah. The miracles that we see Him do doesn't make Him who He is. He's God first and foremost. Amen. From everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. There's no condition that we can put upon it. You can't limit it. He's always been God. And He always will be God. So therefore He's worthy of somebody to get up right now without a song. Hallelujah. Without a shout. And just raise your hands and worship Him. I said He's worthy. Of somebody to get out of the mode of humdrum worship, where if God will do this, I'll praise Him. He's worthy of somebody to break forth in spontaneous worship right now. What would happen if somebody began to worship Him for who He is? What would happen if somebody began to cry out and give Him glory, the glory that is due His name for who He is right now? Lord, I'm going to praise You if You know. I'm going to praise You because of who You are. Lord, I'm going to praise You if You'll sweep through this place tonight. No, I'm going to worship You because You're God. Nothing will ever change that. You'll never get voted out. You'll never be dethroned. You are God. I wonder what would happen right now if somebody broke out of their seat. Amen. And just stepped out and obeyed God. Wait a minute. We ain't made the altar call. Wait a minute. Nobody's at the piano. That's all right. Amen. Why do we have to put conditions on our worship? What would happen if somebody just got lost in the presence of the Holy Ghost? What would happen if somebody got beside themselves and just began to worship Him anyway? That's it. Go ahead, somebody. Go ahead and give Him glory. Go ahead and praise Him. Your circumstance may be not changed. Your situation hasn't changed. But He's still God. And He's worthy of the praise. He's worthy of your worship because of who He is. It just might be in the midst of this atmosphere of worship as some young person goes through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It just might be in this atmosphere of worship that some young lady goes through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It just might be in an altar service like this where your healing comes, where your answered prayer comes, in an atmosphere of worship to the King. Preacher, you're just trying to work us up. Listen, worship can't be worked up. It pours out of a grateful heart. It emerges out of a heart that's been redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We're not working anything up. This is worship that pours out of a heart that's been cleansed, a life that's been changed, a heart and soul that's been redeemed out of sin. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with a psaltery and harp. Praise Him with a timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I don't want to be a member of the first church of conditional worship. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to praise Him according to His excellent greatness. I'm going to praise Him because I have breath in my lungs. Woo! Somebody praise Him. Think about the one who made the difference. Think about the one that turned your life around. Think about the one that saved you out of a devil's hell. Think about the one that put your family back on the rock. Think about the one that saved your marriage. Think about the one who spoke the world into existence. The one who bore the stripes for your healing. The one who's there every time you call His name.